Cade Gomez, who got his PhD in electrical engineering at the University of Cincinnati, has now developed an electronic plant. He joins us from Sweden, where he's perfecting it. Thanks for joining us, Elliot.
Hi, thank you.
What's involved in putting wires in a plant?
So it's actually a lot easier than you might think. And so you might remember your experiment that you do as a kid, where you can take a rose or a carnation, a white carnation, and put it in food coloring. And the plant soaks it up and can even change the leaves and or change the plant to a different color. And so we use a very similar method here, but with electronics, it's not so simple. It requires changing a lot of the recipe that we use so it doesn't either clog the plant or kill it, because we're actually giving it conducting material in a water solution. And so after many attempts by our chemist here, he was able to find a recipe that actually worked for the plants. And the plants not only liked it, but also helped assemble this wire inside the plants and this transistor inside the plants.
Why would somebody want to do this?
So there's a lot of different questions of why we might want to do this. And the main reason is we don't know a lot about, we don't have a lot of tools to study plants and to interact with them. Plants work on a much slower time scale than we're normally used to operating on. And so by essentially giving the plants a central nervous system, if you will, or a way to plug it in or to interface with it with traditional electronics, not only can we might be able to monitor the plants or regulate plant hormones, we might even be able to tap into some things that plants are really good at, like producing energy or harvesting energy from the sun through photosynthesis. The agriculture industry is, starving for tools to be able to control plant physiology, such as, making a plant bloom or increasing its yield or maybe delaying it. If a frosty weather is coming in, we could maybe delay the flowering of a plant and maybe save it. So I guess in short, we don't exactly know the application right now, but there's a lot of potential to expand this field just by having more tools available for us and electronic tools.
And does it produce energy? And if so, how much?
Well, it doesn't produce energy right now. So we were able to demonstrate wires or conducting wires, and also transistors. So this is the basic foundation for a sensor or computer logic, if you will. And so we aren't able to produce energy yet. But obviously, that's something that we have our sights on, because that could be a very big game changer for the energy industry.
And when that time comes, possibly how much energy could it be?
That's a very difficult question to answer right now. But I would say we can at least look at being able to power the plant itself. So if this plant has a sensor, it's obviously going to need a battery or a power supply. So at minimum, we'd want to be able to self-sustain the electronics that are already in this plant.
How long before the cyborg rose or any other plant you might use becomes common?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of different steps that we have to take until we can actually, start growing cyborg roses in our garden. We need to be able to produce more sensors and learn a lot more about the plant and how it reacts to these different electrical circuits inside of it. We need to work in tandem with the plant. We don't want to just stick a wire in it, but actually work with the plant to do what we want it to do. So we're quite a ways away, but this is the first big step in a new direction where we actually integrate electronics and plants together to see what we can do.
Elliot Gomez, former UC researcher, now in Sweden developing electronic plants. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.